Let's go out to that Johnson Auto Hotline and talk to our next guest who knows a little something about the quarterback position. He's a former first-round quarterback, played 13 seasons in the NFL, and a member of the New Orleans Saints Hall of Fame. And I have to mention this. He's part of one of the most elite passing camps around these United States. That's the Manning Passing Academy. Welcome in, Archie Manning. Archie, let's get into it right away. I mean, this passing camp, I mean, it's going into its 26th year, I believe. What was it that continues to have you and your sons come out every single year and put this passing camp together?
Well, it's actually our 25th year because we missed last year because so many people, hardly any camps around the country, the pandemic. So I started 25th, but I guess it was 26 years ago we had the idea to start this. It was really Peyton's idea. He was a junior at Tennessee when we started it, and he had been, when he was in high school, he had been to the Bowden camp. And Coach Bowden down at Florida State, they were rocking and rolling. His son, Terry, was a coach over at Samford in Birmingham, a small school there. Tommy, his other son, was an assistant coach in college football. So Peyton had been to that. It was a quarterback receiver camp. And he just wanted to do it. You know, at that time, especially here in South Louisiana, in high schools, nobody was throwing the ball. You know, it just kind of, some team would get beat 28-6, and they would throw five passes in the game, the team that lost. It just didn't have catch-up ability. And so we just kind of wanted to help, thinking maybe kind of a regional thing, you know, where we'd help quarterbacks and receivers. And we started at Tulane that first year right here in New Orleans. We had 185 campers, and we outgrew not only their space there, didn't have that much, and we were going to have more campers each and every year. So we moved it over to a little school called Southeast Louisiana in Hammond. We were there 9 years. And then we went to Nicholls State in Thibodaux, Louisiana, where it's about an hour from New Orleans, where we've been the last 14, 15 years. And it's just continued to grow. We max out every year now at about 1,250 kids. I think this year they're coming from 46, 47 states. We staff it with high school and small college coaches around the country who come every year, and we staff it with college quarterbacks, starting quarterbacks. We'll have 45 this year. So that's kind of our history, and it's not a, you know, this is not like basketball, AAU or something. This is not about five-star people. It's not about recruiting. This is about trying to enhance the high school experience for high school quarterbacks and receivers and just get better. And we've had a lot of fun doing it. And I'm proud to say all three of my sons have been there 100% of the time for the 25 years. So Eli was a camper for the first 3 years. He was just a sophomore in high school.
well, you know what?
So anyway, that's kind of, I probably talked too long there. I apologize. But that's kind of the history of our camps.
Now, you have, you know, so many of these prospects come every single year, and unlike other camps, this Manning Passing Academy, it is not just for quarterbacks. I've been doing my research, and I see that there's wide receivers and there's tight ends. Why have you guys decided to not just focus on quarterbacks but also bring some of these other positions in as well?
Well, we want to help them, too. And, you know, one of the things we really talk to the kids about, and the world has kind of changed since we started this. Throughout the country, high schools are throwing the ball more. I kind of give Texas credit. It seems to me it kind of started in Texas, you know, with high school coaches there going to the spread offense and going with three and four wide receivers and kind of it changing the offensive game a little bit. And then and we saw it in our camp. In those early years, quarterbacks just weren't very good. But now all of a sudden we're seeing quarterbacks that are coming to that camp and they're better. They throw the ball better because they're doing it in practice and they're doing it in games. So we like to bring receivers in too. And kind of one thing we emphasize to them, you can't just show up for August practice and you can't just show up in spring training and then for fall football and think you're going to be good. It takes work on the side, and that's up to a quarterback to kind of get his receivers together, you know, and have throwing sessions. Sometimes you know, without coaches there. The quarterback's job is to lead that. So that we want to have receivers there for them. We want to have tight ends there for them to have somebody to throw to. I in an ideal situation, we would have 600 quarterbacks and 600 receivers. It doesn't work like that. We'll usually have about 900 quarterbacks and 300 receivers. My son Cooper says we're really a better receiver camp than we are quarterback camp. Receivers get so much work.
Yeah, well, we're talking with the great Archie Manning, and we're talking about the quarterback position and the Manning Passing Academy. You played 13 years in NFL, and what have been some of the changes and the growth that you've seen in the passing game and the quarterback position? Because it's definitely changed over the years.
Oh, it's changed so much, as I said before. You know, though, when we started out, that we believed in fundamentals, and Peyton had a big impact. Peyton was a junior at Tennessee when we started this. So we talked about fundamentals, you know, three-step drop, five-step drop, not so much seven-step drop. We talked about play action. We talked about sprint out. You know, the read option wasn't even part of football back then. Nobody was getting in shotgun in high schools and throwing the ball and spreading out. So we've seen that evolve and change. But we're still a little old-fashioned, and I guess I give Peyton credit. We still have these quarterbacks do a three-step drop. We still have them do five-step drops and play action, sprint outs. Now, we also do shotgun, and we do read option stuff because that's what most of them do. But we feel like it's important to get under center sometimes. We don't really go by the theory that 100% not being under center. A lot of kids don't know how to take a snap. So we still a little bit old-fashioned when it comes to that.
Well, being old-fashioned is, for me, is something that you still stick to, because the game is still about being able to drive the ball down the field in the vertical passing game. And when we look at the ability to command a huddle, because here in Denver we have Drew Lock, and Drew Lock has shown some tendencies at times at not being able to command the huddle. From your perspective, how important is it, whether you are a seasoned veteran or a guy just kind of learning the quarterback position, to be able to command the huddle?
Yeah, it's very important. You know, I kind of have a theory about that now. I think it's a big part of a quarterback's job through the years, as you put it, command the huddle, or we say be in charge of your huddle. We used to call it huddle presence, and by that I mean you've got to have the play in your mind. Now, you know, I'm old. Back in my day, we called our own play. So you stand outside the huddle, and you kind of look at the down in the distance, and you think about, okay, I just didn't do this on my own. I'm prepared to call this play. What's the best play for me to call on this third and eight situation? Or if the coach is sending it in, that's fine too. But you're outside the huddle, and you kind of regrouping right there. Well, when you walk in that huddle, it's your huddle. No one else talks. If anybody says anything after you walk in, you tell them to shut up. If they want to talk to you before you get in the huddle, that's fine. But that's huddle presence. It's your huddle. And then you want to call the play right there. You want to call it with some authority. You want to call it with some confidence. Now, sometimes you might, you definitely look somebody in the eye. If you're going to run off tackle to the left, you might look a little bit at that left tackle, left guard, a little wink, or even say a little something. Come, let's go, coming your way, you know, that type of thing. So it's all about the huddle presence and the command. And then you call the play, you get them out of the huddle, you do that with a lot of authority, and you try to get them up to the line of scrimmage and run a play. And to me, that's something that's lost a little bit with the quarterback position for teams that never huddle. You know, and I like playing fast. I like that. And I like no huddle stuff. But I think sometimes you got to huddle, because I think that's where a quarterback can really use and implement his leadership abilities.
We're talking to the great Archie Manning, and we're talking about the quarterback position and the Manning Passing Academy. When it comes to young quarterbacks, the development of those players on the field, that's important, but off the field as well. And recently, we just saw, you know, the NCAA kind of go through the situation, and Supreme Court said, hey, listen, we agree that college athletes are now should be in charge of dictating, you know, what happens as far as revenue driven, as far as name, you know, image and likeness. When you first heard that, and knowing as though you run this passing academy, what was the first thing that came to your mind?
How's this going to work? I don't have a problem with, you know, I know coaches in, you know, here in our part of the country, in the Southeastern Conference, so coaches are big dollars. That really bothers people. So they say players should be paid too. So, okay, you know, I'll go along with it. But I just say, how's it going to work? And I still don't think anybody has the answer. I don't think anybody knows. You know, I'm not sure. Again, maybe this is that old-fashioned part of me again. You know, I'm not really ready maybe for a kid when he goes to college to hire an agent, to have an agent from the get-go when he gets to college to handle his off-campus appearances and endorsements and that type of thing. It's just so new, and I just think there's it's got to be governed. We don't want to turn this into a wild, wild west, you know, and I've already seen some things, and people are going to be out there being creative and inventive, and it's going to be players. They're going to put some money in their pocket. One question I have, are all the players going to put money in their pocket? Is the star quarterback going to get some cash? Yeah. Is his left guard going to get some? I'm not so sure. I don't know. And so how's that going to work in the locker room? So I just think I don't have a problem, but I think there's just questions that are going to have to be answered.
Now, there are a lot of listeners that are out there hoping that their sons will become the next Eli, the next, you know, Peyton Manning. What would you tell those families who are looking for their kids and putting a lot of pressure on them? Because, I mean, you've done a great job as a guy that's played this game for a long period of time, and then, you know, both of your sons have definitely, you know, excelled in at the NFL level. What would you tell those parents who are pushing too hard for their kids to be the next great quarterback?
I would say, don't do it. Don't push. Sometimes that pushing doesn't have a good ending. So, first thing I tell a parent whose child is participating in sports to enjoy the journey, make sure that youngster is having fun playing sports, make sure that they want to do it. Don't push them to do it. If they want to do it, then it's great. There's a lot of value there in sports and athletics. But as a parent, I would say support, but don't push. Yeah, drive them to practice, absolutely. Make sure that they're on time. They need if you can afford it, they need a new glove. Yeah, okay, I did. But don't overdo that and push at too young an age, because I've seen too many times where it doesn't work out through the years, basketball, baseball, football, whatever. So we just tried to, support them. I always had a theory when I went to one of my children's games is have a little talk with myself when I get out of the car, go stand or sit on the top row.
Here's my last two questions. When it comes to these young quarterbacks and a lot of prospects, of course you see them through your passing camp. How is it that both parents and coaches actually protect some of these players, especially when it comes to interviews and recruitment?
Yeah, the world has changed there since, you know, I had three boys that went through recruiting, and now I've got a grandson going through it. Everything has changed. It starts so much earlier, and I don't know if that's a good thing. You know, I don't think it's a great thing to offer a youngster when he's an eighth or ninth grader or not. But one thing, is that coach still going to be there? And how's that program going to change over the next 4 years before someone can go to college? So, I keep coming back to that old-fashioned thing. You know, my kids, the recruiting really didn't start until maybe their junior year, sometimes kind of after their junior year. And now, so I think parents shouldn't get too worked up. If they're getting college offers when they're in the 9th and 10th grade, don't worry too much about that. Just let them play. Let them play. Get better. Keep getting better. Enjoy it. Have fun. And there's plenty of time for recruiting once to gear up a little bit around their after their 10th grade year, and when they've got about 2 years left to kind of analyze it, review it, and see what's the best thing to do.
Well, Archie, I would be remiss if I did not ask this question. You know, as a guy that played the league, and I'm a father myself, I mean, Eli, Peyton Manning, everyone knows about, you know, the family legacy, but Peyton will be going into Canton, Ohio. That's where the creme de la creme of those who play this great game actually go. And as a father, being there watching your son inducted in the Pro Football Hall of Fame, tell me what that's going to be like for you and your family.
Oh, Nick, I tell you, we're so proud. And the thing about it is new. You know, the one thing I can say for Peyton during his entire career, you know, there's highs and lows, and certainly there were more highs and great experiences, but I never heard him say anything about the Hall of Fame. So, and I know after his first 7 or 8 years, people are kind of speculating, yeah, he'll be a Hall of Famer. Then they started saying he'll be a first-time Hall of Famer. But I never heard him comment on that, and I never talked about it. But now that it's happened and he's been selected, our whole family is just extremely proud. We're excited to be going to Canton to be part of that journey, and we hope it'll be a great experience.
Well, Archie, this is my final question for you. We have two quarterbacks here, Drew Lock and Teddy Bridgewater. If I'm not mistaken, both of those guys at one point attended the Manning Passing Academy, and you have over 13 years of experience competing in the NFL. Both of these guys are going to be vying for the starting quarterback position. What must be the main focus for either quarterback as they come back to training camp, getting ready to compete?
Oh, I think just do their job. Just do their job. They're both, these are both, you know, I don't know them that well. We had them in our camp, and Teddy was here, you know, with the Saints. But we had Drew. He was really one of the top players that year. They're both great kids. They're going to compete. I would say just do that. Compete at the highest level. Try to get better every day. Try to help your teammates get better every day. And put yourselves in a position for the Broncos to win football games and get things going.
Well, Archie, it's a pleasure. Once again, I can sit here and talk football with you for days. I love what you're doing with the Manning Passing Camp, helping out these young players, and not just build them on the field, but build them to, you know, productive young men and society off the field as well. Once again, I applaud you for what you and your sons are doing, and that moment in Canton, as a father, I can only imagine what that will feel like. So thank you once again for giving us some time here on the Nick and Cecil Show.
Oh, it's my pleasure, Nick. Glad to be with you, pal. All the best.
All right, appreciate it. Thank you.
There we have Archie Manning, ladies and gentlemen. That is our Legends Week. It's Nick and Cecil. We're back on The Fan and Why. The Aaron Rodgers breaking news isn't really that. Next.